Our true crime podcast deals with sensitive issues, including some that little ears shouldn't hear. Listener discretion is advised.
This is Cam.
And I'm Jen.
And you're listening to
Our True Crime Podcast. Cam, how are you?
I am fantabulous. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yay. This is our, fourth episode.
Can you believe it?
I cannot believe it. It's kind of like we have a job now.
It's kind of fun. It's
more
a fun job.
Fun than a job, really,
well,
let's be honest.
We don't get paid either, but
we
that's
do not
okay.
get paid, but that's okay. Because people like us.
Some do, yeah.
They do. Speaking of which,
we do have some reviews.
Let's do some shout outs to
you
some of our friends out there.
You want to?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I have Megan Marie. She was pretty awesome. She left us a 5-star review.
Thank you, Megan Marie.
You know who else is awesome?
Who?
Erin. Erin left us one on Podbean. She's pretty cool.
Erin. Thank you, Erin.
Erin.
Woohoo.
Woohoo.
I want to say thank you to Luke A.
Go
you know
Luke.
Who you are, Luke. Lukey Luke. Luke. And also Bree S. Thank you.
Bree, thank you.
We love that you love us. And we also love, more importantly, that you're going to one day be a detective, hopefully.
That's awesome.
And be on our show. And you'll be solving these crimes left and right, I hope. And bring your doggy. So, Jen, what do you got for us today?
I have the case of Timothy Pitson today. Do you know Timothy Pitson case?
I don't know. Why don't you talk about it a little bit and
I'll tell you, I never heard of it. Mm-hmm. But it did happen in 2011 in Aurora, Illinois, which is fairly close to where we live.
Right.
But I never heard of it because I just had recently had kids.
Right.
And I just kind of backed away from all things true crime at that point.
Especially when you have when you become a mom, anything that deals with the child becomes
it's so hard.
It's different.
It should be you want to keep your kids in this
little
nest.
You can relate to it, so
you can.
Yeah,
and it's scarier, I think.
Right.
So anyway,
good thing mine stay in the house all the time because I have two teenagers now.
Oh yeah, that's true.
They
I only have one. I have one that stays in her room all the time. Yeah,
whatever.
Yay for teens.
Anyway, let's get back to the story.
Anyway, this is Timothy James Pitson. Timothy Pitson was born October 18th, 2004, to his parents, James and Amy Pitson.
Mm-hmm.
Amy goes by Amy Fry Pitson. So on May 11th, 2011, Amy wasn't feeling very well. She was having problems with her vertigo. You know what vertigo is?
The Alfred Hitchcock movie?
No.
Oh.
Not
the condition.
Well, that is, but we're talking about the condition of vertigo. Yeah.
The condition. Isn't that kind of where you get dizzy and things spin?
Right.
Like in the movie?
Right. Okay. So, yeah. So she was going to drive to work and her husband said, no way. You can't drive to work.
Yeah. I would think that makes sense.
Right. And she got a little upset, of course, because don't we all get upset when our husband tells us we can't do things and whatever? And he's like, she's like, you know, you're not trusting me. You don't trust me. And he's like, it's not a matter of trust. It's a matter of safety. Right. So he explained that it's just safer for him to drive her to work. And mm-hmm. she only worked a couple blocks away, so it wasn't that big of a deal. So after he dropped her off at work, he dropped their 6-year-old Timothy at his school at Greenman Elementary. As he walked into the school, that was the last time he ever saw any of
his wife or his son?
Or his wife and kid, Timothy.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, okay.
So that same morning, without telling anybody her plans, Amy walked from her job to her home, got her car, and then went to Timothy's school. She told everybody at the school that she had a family emergency, and she checked him out, and that was typically about 8:30. She drove to an auto repair shop, and she dropped off her blue 2004 Ford Expedition SUV, and that was approximately about 10 o'clock.
Was that to get fixed, or do
she
not
dropped?
Right,
as far as we know, she did.
Okay.
So she wanted to take Timothy to the zoo, but of course, she had no way of doing that, so she actually had a repair shop employee drive her to the zoo.
And her son to the zoo?
Mm-hmm. And the zoo was approximately about maybe 20 minutes or so away, somewhere around there.
It's rather odd.
Right? At 3 o'clock, she came to pick up her vehicle. Now, how she did this, I have no idea. I don't know if she took a cab. I don't know what happened.
Hmm.
Right? So after she picked up the car, she drove about 45 miles north to the Key Lime Cove Resort in Gurnee, Illinois. And I spent the night there. And basically what that is, it's a water park. And mm-hmm. Timothy loved the water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they spent the night. But it's weird. She didn't pack anything for Timmy or herself or anything at all. They just went to the park and they spent the night.
Was the husband aware that they were going to do this?
No, nobody was aware that they were going to do this.
Okay.
So James goes to pick up Timothy from school and found out his mother signed him out. He had no idea that this had happened. He checks the house and Amy's work and there's no sign of them. And he calls cell phone number times, but no phone. She never answers her phone. He goes on to say that I called Amy's cell phone a couple of times and it always went to voicemail. I just told her, just tell me you're fine. Just call me. What's going on? I have no idea where they were. I called her mom. I called her dad to see if she'd been there. And I was like, okay, she's upset at me for some reason. So she'll need to cool down. The next morning comes around and they're still not home. So I call the police department and report Amy and Timothy missing.
Mm-hmm.
So
but they didn't get in a fight, right? Or anything?
As far as I know, they didn't. It was like a complete shock to everybody.
It's weird.
You police have been able to track where Amy took Timmy
mm-hmm.
due to her I-pass. You know what the I-pass is?
Yeah, isn't that the, like the toll roads? Illinois has toll roads or whatever. And so instead of paying, you have like almost like a barcode. You get to go through the fast lane or whatever.
Right. And you either pay monthly or they charge mm-hmm. you per however many you use. Right. So she had an I-pass on her car and they were able to track wherever they went. So they did find out that on May 12th that Amy took Timmy and drove to the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what is in Wisconsin Dells?
I think isn't there like a lot of water parks?
There's a lot of water parks, mm. right? And so it was approximately 160 miles northwest of where they were.
Mm-hmm.
So they also found credit card receipts that indicate Amy stopped at the Shopko in Racine, Wisconsin, and bought children's clothes and some toys.
Really?
Then they stopped at a Quick Trip in Johnson Creek, Wisconsin, purchased gas and drinks. And then the following morning at 10 a.m., security cameras showed them waiting in line to check out of the resort. And you can see Timmy, I think he's playing with like one of the little trucks that she bought him.
Hmm.
So next, at 1:30 that day, Amy made several calls to her loved ones. And Amy never called her husband, but called her mom and friends. And
she
even
never called her husband to say where she was.
Never called her husband.
Child.
Called her husband's brother.
She did.
But not him. The police did say later that she did try to call Jim.
Mm-hmm.
The phone call dropped and she wasn't able to get through.
Never tried again, I guess.
Probably not. So she called her mom and her mom said, she said, we're fine. We'll be home in a day or two. I just need time to figure out things and to try to think about how to approach this. She also didn't know, or it hasn't been said why she took Timmy or what she was trying to approach.
Maybe she was trying to have fun, like give him, I don't know. Give him some good memories
or a great time, something. Jim said he had no idea why she called his brother, but he could hear Timmy in the background playing or hanging out or doing something. But the one thing that stood out, she told James's brother that Timothy is fine. Timothy belongs to me. Timothy and I will be fine. Timothy is safe.
That's not ominous or anything.
No. So they said that he sounded normal in the background and that he heard him saying, you know, that he was hungry, which all kids are usually hungry all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the last time that anyone saw or heard from Timmy.
Really?
Yeah. And then Amy turned off her phone. Never contacted anybody again.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So 6 hours later, this is at 7:25 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, due to the CCTV mm-hmm. cameras,
mm-hmm.
she was sighted at the Family Dollar store in Winnebago, mm-hmm. Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and that's about 120 miles south, I guess, from the resort in Wisconsin Dells.
Okay.
She's making a whole circle. She purchased stationery. That was...
write a note.
Maybe.
Hmm.
This time, there's no sign of Timmy. Timmy wasn't with her in the
season. He was not with her, and he's too young to be left alone.
He's six, yeah. Then she went next door to a grocery store, I think, called Sullivan Foods, and that was at 8 o'clock. She was caught on that camera. And they bought milk and crackers, or she bought milk and crackers because Timmy wasn't with her. And there's no record of where she was between.
What kind of crackers? I know that's a weird question, but are they?
It didn't say. It just said milk and
versus
crackers.
Versus like a kid cracker.
Like Goldfish.
Yeah. Versus like, you know,
like
saltine crackers.
Yeah.
That would kind of indicate that he was still around.
Right. But from the time her last phone call until 7:25, nobody knows.
I mean, leave him in the car, and you sure wouldn't leave him in the hotel.
Well, you wouldn't. You shouldn't leave him in the car. But at 6, some may, he could have been sleeping in the car. But nobody knows because nobody knows where they were for those 6+ hours. They just totally, it's unaccounted for time. They have no idea. Amy then checked into the Rockford Inn, which is now the La Quinta Inn mm-hmm. in Rockford, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
She did that between the hours of 11:15 and 11:30. So there's a 3-hour time difference there. Nobody knows what happens between the grocery store and checking into the hotel.
And No cameras at the hotel?
Well, they know she checked in between 11:15 and 11:30.
Anybody with her?
No.
Little guy?
Just by herself. Mm-hmm. On the morning of May 14th, the La Quinta Inn employees found her dead in her room.
Ooh.
She had slashed her wrist and her neck.
Really?
And she had also taken an overdose of antihistamines. She's 43 years old.
I'm all into this now. I got to figure this out.
Yeah.
I think she killed him.
On the bed, along with a bunch of photos of Timmy, an almost empty bottle of Children's Triaminic, which is an antihistamine, Amy left three suicide notes. One to whoever found her, one to her mother, and one to her friend.
So she never wrote one to her husband?
No.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of. I have the note that she wrote to her mother. So if you want,
yes, I'll read it. Yes, please.
Okay. It says, Mom, I know you are hurt and frustrated, and I wish I had something better to say than I love you, but I don't. I've never really felt that I belonged here. I've tried very hard to fit in and be happy, to be good to those around me, but somehow I've always felt apart from everything. Tim helped with it for a little while, and maybe if Jim and I had been better, I would have been okay. But everything just fell apart, and at this time, there's just too many pieces for me to pick up again. I can't take the chance of Jim hurting Tim just because of my choices, so I've taken him somewhere safe. He will be well cared for, and he says that he loves you. Please know that there is nothing you could have done or said that would have changed my mind. I'm sorry for the hurt and difficulties I know you are going to face. I just hope you will be able to forgive me one day. Please let Brian, Kathy, Natalie, Adam, Kara, Sydney, and Phoebe know that I do love them, and it's just time for me to say goodbye. I love you, Mom. Amy.
Well, I have a lot of questions and a few thoughts, but I'll save them.
So even though the note said that she didn't want to take a chance that Jim would hurt Timmy, there's really no evidence that Jim has ever hurt his son. I mean, they did say that they have different disciplining situation.
Doesn't...
No, like she would do timeouts and I guess he would do something a little bit stricter. But that happens in my family, too.
That's not,
you know, so. Yeah. So and honestly, Jim is actually a cancer survivor and he never even thought he would have a kid,
a child.
Right. So when they found out that Amy was pregnant, he was like over the moon.
Wow.
Just absolutely over the moon. He also said that he was baffled by his wife's suicide and the disappearance. He had no idea where his son could be. Amy had been married four times. Jim was her fourth husband.
Oh, no other kids? With
no other kids.
Okay.
And supposedly her depression started after her first marriage fell
through, apart. Okay.
Right? Supposedly the first husband was the love of her life, but that's hearsay. I don't know if that's true or not. But in 2003, right when Jim and Amy were dating, Jim received a phone call from a hospital in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, stated that Amy had had an accident. Well, that accident is she had taken a bunch of pills, like antihistamines or something like that, while sitting on a cliff at the Backbone State Park.
Oh.
She fell asleep, fell off a cliff.
So that was obviously a failed suicide attempt?
Well, the friends say it was not an accident, but a suicide attempt, yeah.
I mean, if she fell off the cliff, that's one thing. But if she fell off the cliff after taking an overdose of pills...
A lot of pills, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of cliff it is either. After a fight with one of her ex-husbands, she parked a car on railroad tracks and waited for a train to come. And
so she obviously has some depression issues.
Right, which needed to be dealt with. And from what
was she on medication?
From what I could gather, she was not.
She was not.
Or if she was on medication, she stopped taking it and everybody thought she was fine.
Right, right.
They all said that after Timothy was born that they saw Amy kind of improve and they thought that she would be better. And her mom said that having Timmy brought the utmost joy to Amy and she always seemed very happy and they thought depression was in the past, but obviously it wasn't.
But we all know that depression is like an imbalance, so it's not really...
Well, it never ends. I mean, it cycles.
Yes,
like,
yes,
don't we know? I mean, you could be fine one day and the next day you're in a pit of despair. And that's just what happens. You never get over it.
No,
you never can get over it. You can help manage it, but you can't get over it.
Right.
Jim and Amy's marriage was normal, especially at first. Regular fights that all the couples get into, finances, money.
Right.
It's always about the money. But as the years go by, the marriage was starting to having more difficulties. Jim actually caught Amy texting and emailing her ex-husband.
Which one?
One of the other three.
Okay.
I don't know. They never said.
Okay.
So that like caused a huge fight.
Obviously.
He actually told her, you need to choose what you want to do. You want to be with him or you want to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go be with them, I'll get custody of Timmy. Because of your past.
Now, her past, did he mean her mental illness or did he mean that she had had four husbands or?
Because of her past.
her illness.
Right. He's like, okay. I'll get custody of Timothy and you can do whatever you want. If you want to go be with him, here's the door. There's your stuff. Leave.
Okay.
But she decided to stay. Yeah. He would bring up that, you know, if you do try to divorce me, okay. that with your past mental illness.
I'm seeing some more things here. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good.
So,
because I mean, I don't really know about law, but I don't necessarily, unless she's a harm to herself or Timmy, I don't think that he would get full sole custody. Am I right?
I don't know.
I'm going to investigate that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. So she decided, of course, to stay. She was scared to divorce Jim, and because she was worried that her mental state would harm her chances and that the court would give custody to Jim. And I can understand that.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
I can see that would make you want to stay.
Right. You know, when he said that, I'm not sure. It doesn't really sound like it was in an abusive manner. It sounds like it was said out of anger.
Anger. Yeah. But that's also a threat. I mean, it is like you can do what you want, but if you do this, this is what's going to happen versus do what you want.
Right. I mean, we've all said stuff out of anger that we technically didn't mean. And it was more of a scare tactic, probably.
Mm-hmm. Or a threat.
Who knows? And you know what? Giving her depression, mental state, mm-hmm. who knows how she took it?
Yeah. And
my husband could say something like that to me and I'd probably beat him. But
no, you would not be. That's abuse too. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
But I mean, who knows how it would take and the situation, what happened and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So interesting. 6 months before the incident, Jim and Amy had a big stress in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Amy was planning her annual trip to the Bahamas with her best friend, Liz.
Okay.
The girl, that was one of the persons mm-hmm. that she sent the suicide note to. She lives in Iowa, by the mm-hmm. way. Jim didn't want Amy to go on the trip by herself, but Amy was going to go anyway. She seems that Amy was very hard-headed.
As I am.
She wanted to do things her way.
As I do.
Hence why Timothy is spelled with two M's. She wanted him to stand out and be different. And she insisted if she had to name him Timothy, it was going to be with two M's.
Okay.
So supposedly they had a huge fight, like even in front of family and big
about
deal.
About the Bahamas?
About the Bahamas trip.
Okay.
But anyway.
You said annual. So obviously she does a trip with her friend.
Right. It was annual. But this year he just didn't want her to go. I assume that it's for financial reasons.
Okay.
She went on the trip anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came back, she was so excited to see everybody. Like, she was friendly, she was outgoing, mm-hmm. she was happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks later, she kidnaps Timmy and then kills herself.
Okay. All right.
Once police are contacted that she killed herself and everybody's starting to look for Timmy, right? There's the notes that says that she dropped him off with people that will care for him and love him.
Mm-hmm.
And the police kind of agree.
But who is it?
I don't know.
I'll save that for later. Ooh-wee,
One of the reasons authorities believe that Amy had, in fact, given Timothy to other people was his car seat was missing. They couldn't find his car seat. Well, the seat did turn up. Timmy's grandmother had it in Ohio.
Paternal or maternal? Which grandmother?
I think it's paternal.
Okay.
She had it for a week before Timmy disappeared. They then examined Amy's SUV and found traces of Timmy's blood all over the back seat.
Oh.
They couldn't tell how long it had been there or how long the stains were, but it was a huge thing of blood. But everybody had said that Timmy had gotten a nosebleed in the vehicle about a year before his disappearance. They also examined the knife that Amy used to commit suicide.
There was not any blood,
only hers.
Okay.
Amy's SUV was visibly dirty, but from the outside, I'm assuming in the inside, they're like all mother's cars are visibly dirty.
Lots of junk.
But this one had soil, tall grass, weeds stuck to the undercarriage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. They did forensic testing on it. And this is amazing. I'm going to read to you. It's amazing what they can find on the cars.
Forensic testing on the plant and sediment materials on the car indicated it stopped for a time on a gravel area just off an asphalt road that had one time been treated with glass road-making beads.
Isn't that amazing that they can tell that?
But just listen.
That's crazy.
Listen, okay. It gets better.
I just get excited.
The vehicle backed into a grassy meadow or field which contained Queen Anne's lace and black mustard plants and would have been nearly treeless. Some oak or birch trees were in the general area, but not in the direct place where the car stopped. There was a possibility of a pond or a small stream close by. There are no indications that the land was cultivated as either lawn or growing crops. Investigators think the meadow is probably in Lee County or Whiteside County in northwestern Illinois, but could also Carroll, Ogle, Stevenson, and Winnebago counties.
That is amazing.
Isn't it amazing?
That's crazy.
I mean, okay, granted, that could be anywhere in the Midwest.
Yeah, but there's certain things that only grow at certain places.
Right.
Right? Like red clay. You're only going to find red clay at certain places in the United States.
Right. But I mean, it's utterly amazing. Just from the dirt Unreal.
I can't believe anybody can get away with any crime in this day and age.
I don't.
Thank you, DNA and strange queen's lace with black mustard seed plants. Whatever.
Right. Investigators believe that Amy was probably planning this for quite a while.
I think so.
Well, and her mother said that Amy was very meticulous planner. And she planned everything, always paid attention to details, everything. Also, her iPass records. Remember we talked about the iPass? February and March, she took two unexpected trips into the Sterling Rock Falls area. That's close to where her body would be found later.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Just interrupt you. So she was out there. She was investigating. Like she was looking around.
Okay. We don't know why. I mean, in February, that trip in February, she was gone for 4 hours before she came home. And then in March, she was gone 5 hours. Before deciding to drive, she would leave. She would stay gone for about 5 hours and then come back.
Oh, I think this was totally planned.
Yeah. She had an email account that she had opened under her maiden name in 2007. Mm-hmm. That was after she met Jim and Timmy was born. She kept it a secret from her husband, but the account didn't contain anything useful to the investigation. But Yahoo doesn't keep records of deleted emails.
They don't?
Or at least they didn't at the time of the crime, so they couldn't find anything. Authorities thought they might have had a major break in the case in October 2013 when the cell phone belonged to Amy, which was missing at the time of her death. The cell phone turned on. It pinged. Mm-hmm. Weird, right? Somebody had found the phone and had been sitting on their shelf for about 2 years.
They just kept it.
She discovered it on the highway on Illinois Route 78 north of Mount Carroll.
The lady found it and then just took it home?
She just took it home. And then her brother needed a new phone, so she says, hey, I've got one. And they powered it up.
Bizarre.
I know.
Who does that?
I don't know. Powered it up. And as he was going through the phone, they recognized the names that were on the contact list, like Amy's name and James's name. They recognized them. So they turned it into the police. But there was nothing.
2 years later?
Yeah.
I know that we're true crime people. And I know that if you and I found a cell phone, especially on some random road by itself, we would be like, ooh, what happened? Crime.
I would power it up to begin with. And I would have been.
Of course. Google. That's what I'm saying.
I can't even
touch it. I would get like a glove or a piece of cloth and, you know, call the police.
Right by our house, there's a white styrofoam cooler, and I can't drive by without thinking I should go check to see if there's some body parts in there. I mean, seriously. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, they'd recognize the names and they turned it into the police, but there was nothing on there. They couldn't find anything. All of Amy's family and friends, they've been very cooperative with the police, the investigation. No one has been named a suspect in the disappearance.
Well, I mean, I guess technically he didn't disappear. He's just not.
Well, he's gone.
He's not. Okay.
But nobody believes that Amy could really have hurt Timmy. They really believe that he is with someone. They don't think she had it in her to hurt him. The detective noted that everyone he talked to that knew the family, they were adamant Amy adored her son and that she would never hurt him at all.
I can see that, but I'm just not so sure.
The detective states, the most challenging part is figuring out who she was in communication with. That's the missing link. He also takes comfort in knowing that Timmy was six when he left, so he knew his parents and his grandparents. And he knew that he lived in Aurora, Illinois. And he believes that at some point he will become a man and want to explore his childhood. We hope it doesn't take that long, but as long as he comes back healthy and safe, the family just wants him back into their lives. When they found Amy, everything was gone. Like all the clothes that she packed for Timmy was gone. Or all the clothes she bought for Timmy was gone, I should say.
And the toys.
The toys were gone. Even the clothes that she was wearing in some of the videos, the CCTV, were gone. Like, the only thing they found were the pictures of Timmy.
And what was on her body.
The suicide notes and the empty child's trimetic.
Okay.
Oh, also the Spider-Man backpack that Timmy had at school. That's gone. The tube of Crest toothpaste that she bought him for the trip is gone. And the iPass transponder. Okay. So what do you think?
You know, I hate to say that she killed him, but I kind of think, if you're not going to give your child to your parents or your husband's parents, or your husband, who would be the ones, or your best friend, Elizabeth, whatever. What are you going to do with him? Who's going to take him? Like, you can't, you're going to contact a stranger and say, here's my six-year-old? I just don't get that. Or somebody that just doesn't, you're going to adopt him out? That's not going to work. And he is old enough to say something. I just don't know. And you know, like earlier you said that he's somewhere safe. But if you're religious, right? You believe that in the end that you go to a better place and that you technically he would be safe. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, and she was despondent, obviously, and she did have some issues. I don't know. Okay, well, I need to know.
Well, the theories are that once she sold them, which I...
Sold them to who?
She sold, I don't know.
They just said she sold them to who?
One of the really big theories is that she gave him, she put him in an Amish community.
But would they, would those people stay silent?
No, they're pretty law-abiding people. I don't think they would just like...
The only way that I think that somebody could harbor him would be like if his father was molesting him or beating him or something like that. But it doesn't sound like that was the case. So,
but don't you think Amy could have told the people that?
Yeah.
You know, and she could have convinced other people.
But what about him?
She could have convinced herself.
Yeah, that's true.
That he did that. And she could have convinced Timmy that his father did that.
Yeah.
And I mean, in her mental state, I mean, who knows what really happened? I mean,
right.
It's hard to say, but I really don't.
I just don't see that.
I don't see him being with the Amish or any kind of off the grid
people.
Do you
because,
think? Well, I want to believe he's still alive. I don't know if you remember this, but back in the 80s, because you always say you're too young.
I am too young.
But in the 80s, I remember there was an article I remember reading about this children's underground railroad
mm-hmm.
where parents would give kids that they thought their husband or family members were molesting mm-hmm. and they would take these kids mm-hmm. and they would pass them on, mm-hmm. you know,
pass them to who?
Pass them to people to keep them in hiding. And in hiding, they would be homeschooled. They were never allowed to watch TV. They were never allowed
did
to.
Did any of these kids come forward?
Some did. Yeah. There is. I read the article. I was able to find it. So I'll link it on our webpage. But
so that's true. That really exists.
Yeah, it really. And there's now there's an underground railroad, but the parents go with the kids.
Yeah, I would. Right. I couldn't live without them.
So, but another thing is for the domestic violence, over 100,000 women go into hiding a year,
mm-hmm.
and that's not including children.
Right.
That's just those
right.
women. Another thing, Amy worked as a property management at a property management company.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? You know,
what kind of people she met.
That's she
true.
Met.
That's true.
And if who she kept in contact with, that they moved away. So.
But you would think the police could, you know.
Well, it's, could you imagine you take this because Amy, you know, this woman is telling you how her husband is beating this child and all this, you know, doing God knows what to this
allegedly.
Child. Allegedly.
Yeah.
She's telling you this and you believe her
right.
and you take her child. How much trouble are you going to get to when you're caught? Because you're going to get caught.
And also, that kid was six. I mean, kindergarten's pretty, you know, they can't keep a secret, let's be honest. Kind of
no.
like you.
never keep a telephone, tell Jen.
unless maybe he went overseas. I mean, I
that's
guess.
That's another that, one that they somebody okay. took him and they farmed him out over, not farmed him, but
yeah,
had somebody, because they're close to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So there could have been some kind of meetup point.
But again, he's six. You'd think he'd tell somebody, you know?
Another theory is that she killed him and she buried him and all the things she bought and she did it out of spite so her husband would never get him.
But then, like, I don't, number one, wouldn't something be found of his? Something, some clothing, something.
Depends.
Number
you
two.
Don't know, look at where her car was. It's out in the middle of the field on a gravel road.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, which could be anywhere Midwest.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But my theory is she did not kill him. Because if she loved and cared for him as much as everybody said she did,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
she would have died with him. She would have, it would have been a murder suicide and his body would have been with hers.
But maybe she couldn't do that. Maybe she couldn't actually harm her child. So
I don't know. But I don't really think she did kill him.
You don't. You think he's still alive.
I think he's still alive. According to the FBI statistics,
mm-hmm.
450 kids a year are killed.
That's a lot.
By their parents. It's huge.
Isn't
amount.
That a lot?
It's way too many. And most of them are victims of custody battles.
Okay. So not
right?
even mental
right.
issues, depression or anything
right.
like that. It's just strictly
right.
out of spite.
Right. Only 44% of those parents are mothers.
Okay.
The rest.
Well, that's almost half and half.
Right.
Though. That's
and
a lot.
Then, although those are mostly impulse killings. And they involve children under the age of one, because let's be honest.
Just because, like, the baby's crying and stuff?
Right.
Okay.
Due to postpartum.
Like
accidental
and, or postpartum, yeah.
Right. All that. But the most common motive is mothers rationalize that the killing is the best for
and see,
the kids.
That, and that's kind of what I think about her. I think that she thinks that he is in a better place. She put him in a better place. She allowed that to happen. And I think that she, if she truly cared for him, as was stated, I don't know if she would be okay to know that he's out there without her. You know what I'm saying?
But she would be okay to leave his body somewhere and go somewhere else comfy to die? To put him out in a cold field alone at 6 year old?
Timothy, I mean, I need to know.
I could not stand I would hate the thought of them being cold and alone.
Yeah.
I mean, you would hate it.
But then who?
I could not stand the
maybe
thought.
Maybe she has some distant relative in some far off
nobody,
country.
Nobody. Yeah, that could be. Who knows? You know? And we can say that no mother would do that. Why leave the child with a stranger? Why bury the child where no one can find? You know, when you're having a mental break, who knows what's going on through their mind? Yeah. You know, they're not. I mean, many people say, like I just said now, I mean, why would she leave that poor kid out in the field by herself?
If you're not thinking in the right.
You're not going to do what normal, everyday, rational thinking people will do.
Right.
So Lord only knows where he is, you know. But I did read this somewhere and it kind of stuck to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really struck a chord for me. They said, if we believe the child is dead, then it means we can stop looking. And that's the worst thing we can do.
I agree.
So
that's why
you have to hold out
alive
hope.
Or dead.
Right.
I just can't believe something hasn't come up.
Well, they get so many hits a year. Like there's still a hotline available and I forget they're like in the tens of thousands of calls per year. Mm-hmm. Recently they were called down to Florida because somebody thought she saw Timmy at the garage sale that she was having. And the police went down there to check it out. They check out every lead, credible lead.
You'd have to. Imagine missing the one lead that it is.
Right. But, I mean, even the police still believe he's alive. You know, they've done age progressions.
What does his father believe?
Everybody still believes that he's out there.
They think he is, too. And the grandparents?
Grandparents still believe. Mm. Timothy is described as a very active, outgoing boy and is a natural leader who is at ease with both adults and other children. And granted, this is when he was six, so things might have changed a little bit, but he enjoys going to the zoo, using playground equipment such as swings and sandbox, bikes, go-kart riding, and a collection of Matchbox cars. He'd get along with my husband with the Matchbox. he was learning how to swim at the time of his disappearance, and his favorite foods include Chuck E. Cheese, yogurt, mac and cheese, and anything from McDonald's. So, yes, he was six when he did this. But listen, his disappearance is still unsolved, and the Aurora Police Department are still investigating Timothy's case. So any leads they receive, they get checked into. So if you have any information, please call the Aurora Police Department at 630-256-5000 or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's hotline at 800-843-5678. On our site, we will have...
Did they do an age progression
photo?
They
did an age progression. We'll have all that available. So if you see him, please say something.
I know this is a math question, but I prefer you to do it than me. How old would he be today?
Let's see. He was born in 2004, he'd be about 13.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, your looks at six, I mean, they do change, but your facial structure, it's kind
it
of
just
there.
Slings down.
Yeah. So I would think that, I don't know, I would think that maybe if somebody saw him,
he's a spinning image of his father. So if you look at his father, can almost tell that they're the same.
That was really good, Jen. I hope.
It's so sad. It is so sad. It's hard for me to fathom the anguish that the mother was going to. And I mean, we can make her out to be this horrible person and everything, but
mental illness is not
depression.
You know, it's a terrible thing.
It's an illness and it's just not something that will go away. I mean, it's not a sign of weakness.
Right.
You need to get help. You can't brush it aside, but you can't let the stigma of depression keep you from getting help and the treatment that you need.
Yeah, I think so many people think it's bad if you take medicine you think about if you have cancer, there's cells in your body that shouldn't be there. So you take medicine to get rid of that. Well, and it's the same thing with mental illness.
How much money do we spend on that magical pill to lose weight?
Right.
I mean, you have not necessarily a magic pill to help you feel better. It helps you. It raises you up, you know? So, and there's no need to be ashamed of having depression or taking medication. You need treatment, so go seek it. I've had depression for most of my life. And unfortunately, I didn't get help until I was in my 30s. And looking back on it, I should have gotten help 20 years ago.
Right.
You deserve a better life, so you need to be good to yourself.
Right. And you do it. Life is short.
Life is so short.
Do what you do.
And you can't.
To make it the best you can.
So anyway, if you do suffer from depression, you have suicidal thoughts, please call the National Suicide Hotline, 1-800-273-8255 or 1-800-784-2433. The Lifeline provides 24/7 free confidential support for people in distress, prevention and crisis resources for you and your loved ones. And you don't have to be suicidal to call. You could just be upset. You could just reach out and talk to somebody. If you'd rather tweet, you can tweet the Lifeline. The address is at 800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K. This isn't actually monitored 24/7. So if you need immediate help, please go to the hotline. And please call. If you need help, do it.
I think one of the things I'd like to emphasize is talk to somebody. I think there's so many people out there that are hurting. And I think they don't talk. I think they either think people don't care or they won't understand. And I think you'd be really surprised how many people suffer with the same things.
It's awful. But just need to know that no matter what you think, you are loved and you are important and you do make a difference.
Yes. So I concur.
Like I said, reach out if you need to talk, call these hotlines, do whatever you need to do.
That was a good case, Jen.
Thanks. I hope they found him. I hope they find that poor little boy.
I do too.
It makes me sick to my stomach.
Now he's a teenager.
Yeah, I know. But well, anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We love listening to you, or we love that you listen to us. Or something. We'd love to listen to you if you want to, you know, chat us up. Tweet us at Our True Crime Pod. We're also on Facebook. You can find us at, where else are we?
Our Gmail account.
Oh, which is?
Our True Crime Podcast at gmail.com.
Okay. And then where else are we?
We are. Do we have our blog spot?
Oh, we do have our blog spot. OurTrueCrimePodcast.com.
Yes.
So, which all the information, references, all that kind of stuff will be up there. Any of the pictures, everything.
Stay tuned for next week's episode. It's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's always a good one.
Please, if you like this, share us. Tell people about us.
Give us 5 stars.
Give us 5 stars. If you want to give us any constructive criticism, reach out to all the places that we told you about. We'd love to hear it. Just know that we love you. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you.